We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Well, turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 10, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10. Well, we'll just start with verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, who did he say this to? The 70, right? You're following along. He's talking to the 70. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, who was he talking to when he said to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers? He was talking to the 70, which were what? They were laborers. It kind of struck me when I was reading this because I've heard, you know, so many times people say, well, you know, I'm not really the one called to go out and tell somebody. I'm the one that's to, like, be behind the scenes, like, praying. I've never found a scripture in the Bible that got people off the hook of sharing the gospel. Like, I mean, he's not saying here, like, all right, why don't you guys all just go home and chill and pray while I go out and preach the gospel. No, he's talking to people that are going out to preach the gospel. He's telling them to go ahead of me into these cities and these places where I'm going, go and preach the gospel. And mind you, Jesus and God's idea of numbers is different than ours. I mean, the 12 had just been sent out and came back, and now he's sending out 70 more. Quick math, that's 82 people, right? So 82 people were sent out, this is all brand new stuff. You know, Jesus is ministering under the old covenant, but it's transitioning into the new covenant. But he's got 82 people that already, within the first, like, you know, beginning of his ministry, that 82 people went out, were preaching, were laying hands on the sick, were casting out devils and setting people free. And he says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. I'd be thinking, man, like, I mean, to be honest, we don't even have 70 people here on a Sunday morning, right? So he's got 70 people that are going out and preaching the gospel, and he says the laborers are few. So I think God's idea of what is big and our idea of what is big are two very different things. When he says there's 70 people, I mean really 82 people, and we're just like, we need to pray for more harvesters, well, that means I better get my butt into gear, amen, and start really praying the Lord for some more laborers, for some more harvesters to go out and preach the gospel. Now, I love what Jesus said there. He said that the harvest is truly great. You know what's awesome about harvest time? It's not really that much work. I mean, like, if you've been, you know, you've taken care of a garden, what's the work? Tilling, weeding, digging up the ground, pulling out those weeds. Like, I mean, that's the work. But harvest time is, that's what every farmer likes. I mean, you know, everything leading up to harvest time is just in preparation for the harvest. You're doing all this stuff in anticipation for the harvest. And here Jesus, he's telling these 70 people that he's about to send out, that he's appointed to go out and share the gospel with all these neighboring cities where he's about to go. And he says, the harvest is truly great. He wasn't saying that you got to go out and work so hard to try, you know, sweat and toil and labor and do all this intense work in order to get somebody saved. No, he's saying like, I mean, and honestly, we say saved because we're looking back at the Gospels from after Jesus died, but at this point, people, you understand, weren't even actually getting saved per se because Jesus hadn't died and rose from the grave, but in essence, they were hearing the gospel, they were hearing the kingdom message, and so they were receiving that message. So, you know, we say saved, so you understand what I'm saying. I'm not implying that these guys were going out and getting everybody saved, but in today's term, that's exactly what would have been happening. Today, Jesus would be sending people out to the harvest to reap in that harvest, to bring in the harvest. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. That's the heart of God, is seeking and saving that which was lost, is sending out laborers to reap in the harvest. So the harvest is like, it's like when all the food and all the plants and all the good stuff is just ready right there on the tree, ready to be picked. Man, I love September, not just because it's my birthday, but because like apples become ripe in September and you can just walk up and like, I mean, you can just pick, my aunt, she's an apple farmer, you just go to her farm and you just pick the bags full and you just load yourself up with these wonderful, gorgeous, crisp apples. I mean, hot off the tree, you know, it's been baking in the sun all day and you take that bite, man, it's just so refreshing. I'm just telling you, like, it's wonderful. The harvest is truly ripe. The harvest is truly great. It's ready. It just needs harvesters. The way you got to see it, the way Jesus is talking about it is he's like, guys, there is an apple orchard full of apples. I mean, I'm talking like 20 acres of apples. But we got one little guy out there who's only tall enough to like pick the bottom apples, and we don't have enough laborers. I need to send out more laborers to reap the harvest. The harvest is ready, but we need people to go out and bring that harvest in. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers. So he's talking to the people that are doing the labor to pray for more laborers. So nobody's off the hook. Nobody gets a free pass. You see, Jesus, from the Great Commission, he empowered believers to go out, not ministers. He empowered believers to go out to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to speak in new tongues, so on and so forth. He empowered the believer to do it. And the harvest is ripe. You know what my wife was sharing about during the announcements? I'm telling you, something has stirred up on the inside of me to realize. I don't know what it happened. Sometimes, like, I was talking to Pastor Ben from Amsterdam, and he, you know, I was telling him, I don't know what it is about me, but sometimes it seems like the Lord has to deal with me for a long time on something, but then once I got it, it clicks, and it's like, I got it. And he's like, yeah, it's that German engineering. He's like, you're like a diesel engine, you know? It takes a little while to warm up, but once you warm up, I mean, you're good to go. And you stick with it. And that's the way that, like, I'm telling you, last Wednesday when I got prayed for, I don't know what happened, but God did something in me where I'm like, man, what have we been doing? There is harvest out there, and we got to go out and get it. So we're going to start with us. We're the River Church. We're not. I love coming here, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, getting the touch of God. But if all we ever do is come in and get a touch and never take that back out onto the streets, there's something wrong. You see, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, you'll be endued with power from on high so that you can become a witness. So we come in here, I know I repeat this over and over, we come in here to get filled up so that we can take it out. Why? Because Jesus said the harvest is truly ripe. And if it was ripe then, how much more ripe is it now? Because Jesus says, I'm coming soon in the book of Revelation. He says, I am coming soon. And if soon was 2,000 years ago, how soon is soon right now then? 2,000 some years later. Amen? Jesus is coming back soon, and we have to go out and get the harvest. So yeah, we met with the mayor's office today, and they're like totally on board. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I've never heard of, like, you know, mayor's office, like saying, like, yeah, we want to support you coming to preach the gospel, especially like in a liberal city. You know what I mean? But they're open to it. The Lord puts people in positions to open up the door to the gospel. We had a prayer meeting here on Monday night, and the scripture that really came to my heart was Colossians 1 and 2, but really, or Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, but really in verse 2, or maybe it's 2 and 3, either way, it says that pray that the Lord would open a door for us to speak the word to declare the mystery of Christ. And that's what we prayed for. And I'm telling you, there's even, like, we told you about, it's just ridiculous the way that things are going here. I mean, like, the Lord put on our heart, all right, start a Bible school. Then, like, the Lord puts on my heart, go to City Hall, to the mayor, talk to the mayor, and we're going to start doing, evangelism big time in the city. And then, you know, the Lord's doing all this stuff. And then in the midst of that, I'm already thinking, like, wow, the Lord's like stretching us. The Lord's like putting all this new vision in us. And then I can't get into all the details of it yet, but God is opening up another door that when I get to tell you about this, I want to tell you about it right now, but I was told I'm not allowed to. But there's like this crazy door that's being opened that's just going to like totally expand what we're doing here as a church. I mean, like, I'll tell you, as soon as I possibly can. I think it'll be after I get back from camp meeting. But, I mean, it's going to be insane what we're going to be doing. And therefore, we need every hand on deck. You know, I feel, you know, the Bible says that preparation days are never wasted. And I feel like, I mean, the last few years for us have really been in preparation for what is about to happen here. But I'm telling you, what God is doing here is about to explode. It's going to go all over the place because there's people that are hungry and thirsty for a move of God. There's people that want to get saved. The harvest is truly ripe. The harvest is truly great, and he's just waiting for laborers. And so God is looking for a place where he can send people that are doing the laboring. So that means if we actually want to be in God's perfect will, if we want to be in God's perfect plan, then we need to be raising up laborers, and we need to be praying for laborers, and we need to be laboring ourselves, which means that we can't be sitting on our behinds. We have to get up and take the presence of God out on the street. So my wife was sharing how we're going to do these outreaches, and you know, we'll probably start out with food. I mean, if you look at some of the other ways that ministries do these outreaches, they give like cars away, TVs, they give everything just to draw a crowd, and people initially come for the stuff, but once they hear the gospel message, then they keep coming back night after night to hear the gospel message, to hear about Jesus. Now, granted, we're not going to be starting with like, you know, thousands of dollars of TVs and cars to give away, but I'm telling you, I guarantee I can find some place in north of downtown Rochester where people will come out just for a hot dog and a cheeseburger. You know, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to go down there. We're going to put on some good music. We're going to have a good time. We're going to feed people. And we'll just, like she said, we'll put out flyers a week before. And then the day before the event, we'll hand out flyers all around the area. And it's just going to say, come for a free meal. And we'll invite them there. And then what we're going to do is we're going to turn all of you guys loose on them. You guys, I mean, this isn't just like a show for me to like, I feel like I need another place to preach. I need all of you guys to be out there laying hands on them, casting devils out of people. You know, when we were talking to the mayor's assistant today, she said that there has become such a like heroin epidemic, they're struggling to clean up the amount of needles on the ground. They'll send out a crew just to clean up the needles that are laying. I mean, she, you know, mentioned a couple, you know, streets in particular that are really bad. But I mean, these are the kinds of areas that we're going to be going in. You know, and some people, you know, get a little nervous about going into neighborhoods like that. You don't have to be nervous. The Bible says, 1 John 4:4, that we have the greater one living on the inside of us, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and a sound mind. And ultimately, like, you know, we're going to go there with what they want, with what they need. They want the gospel, they need the gospel, and we're going there with that. You know, When I was in Bible school, they would send us to like the roughest neighborhoods. When we'd go out on GATs, you know, whether you're in Washington, D.C., whether you're in downtown Tampa, all around the country, it's no different. You can approach the roughest looking people, and as long as you treat them with respect and love and share the goodness of God and say, Jesus loves you. Yeah, you might get people that, you know, like, whatever, turn the other way and maybe someone cusses you out or whatever. But for the most part, people are waiting for a touch. You see, I told the mayor's assistant today, I was like, look, you know, because she was saying like, you know, you got, before I even really got to say what I wanted to say, she was like, you know, it'd be great if you guys could just come down here to the city and walk around and pray. And I was like, yeah, like I'm not opposed to doing that. But if all we ever did was just pray for the city, nothing would ever happen. Someone has to go, and someone has to open their mouth, and someone has to lay hands on the sick, and someone has to cast out devils. And that's going to be you, and that's going to be me. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to, you know what? And here's the thing. You know, you look in the book of Acts where it's talking about the Lord adding to the church daily. It's not necessarily like the responsibility of the like pastor or even necessarily the church in a way to grow the church. The Lord will add daily to the church as long as the church is doing what the church is supposed to do. And the church is supposed to be laboring, reaping in that harvest. So if we're not bringing in the harvest, why would the Lord add to us? You know what I mean? And look, this isn't a rebuke to anyone here. It's a rebuke to myself. The Lord rebuked me right here on the floor last week. That like, what are you doing, man? Like, why aren't we out soul winning more? I mean, like, you know, we did soul winning, what, like last month, and like 30 people showed up and everyone had a great time. Everyone loved it. You know, when you go out and you see someone's life changed, you can't stay sad. I mean, it's like the most ridiculous, amazing thing. I was in the mall in Galleria Mall, like, because these guys, they didn't have an opportunity to come soul winning on the Saturday that Yana was here and she taught us soul winning. So they were like, well, we still want to go soul winning and we want, you know, Yana to teach us. So we go Sunday after church, we went out to Buffalo and we were in the Galleria Mall and like, Andy, like after he prays with the first person to receive Jesus, as he's going through the gospel message, he starts crying. The Lord starts touching him because he's like, I can't, I mean, like, not to say I can't believe, but just for the sake of the expression, I can't believe that this is happening. I mean, as much as it changed that person's life that he was praying for, it changes your life when you begin to minister and you see that God is using me and that this stuff is actually real. Amen? So we're going to go into areas where it might even be unlikely that we would get even one person to drive from there to come to our church. But that's not what it's about. Because if we'll just get busy with God's kingdom, if we'll just get busy doing what God's called us to do and going out and laboring to bring in the harvest and then raising up laborers, which is why we want to do the Bible school, to raise up laborers, to raise up, you know, I mean, I was talking about it with Pastor Tommy and he said, you know, people can only go to a certain level as long as, you know, they're just being coming to church on Sunday, and they can only go to a certain level if they're coming Sunday and Wednesday. But when you do a Bible school, it's like, you know, people can, you know, that really want to press in can just go like, you know, all the way. Because I mean, when you're getting ministered to that much every week and you're also going out ministering, I mean, like your life gets totally changed. Amen? Did you see that it said that Jesus sent them out two by two to go ahead of the areas where he was preaching? You know, I mean, who knows what the Lord is going to do for us, but like, we're going to go out into these areas, and who knows, the Lord, by us just going out there and declaring the word and declaring the gospel and seeing people get saved, who knows, the Lord could open up doors for new churches to spring up, churches to plant. You might be sitting here tonight and not even know it, but you might have a call of God on your life that you'll actually be a pastor in the city. I believe that. I believe that there are ministers sitting in this room, whether you guys even know it or not. I mean, Pastor Tommy, he was never planned on being in ministry. He was an IT guy. He was a total nerd. Like, I was there, like, before he ever felt called, like, to ministry. Couldn't even have, like, a conversation with him. He would just, like, listen to you and then walk away. It's like, he still does that sometimes. But, I mean, nobody, I promise you this, nobody ever had a conversation with Pastor Tommy and said, that guy's going to be a pastor one day. But, I mean, look what the Lord's doing in his life. Of all the river churches that have launched out of Tampa, his is the biggest. Within just a few years. It's ridiculous. What can God do with one person that'll just get hungry and desperate? You know, and one of the things he told us, you know, because we're like, obviously like, well, what's going on over there? Well, I mean, how is it happening? He's like, you just got to get busy with the kingdom. I mean, day in, day out, you got to just be busy expanding God's kingdom. You know, even if that's spending time in prayer, if that's being, you know, ministering on social media or television or writing books, whatever it is, you got to be busy with God's kingdom. Amen? It was, you know what, when I turned to Luke chapter 10 tonight, you know, honestly, this was my thought. Like, I was, because, you know, this stuff has been stirring up in my heart. And then on Monday, we had that prayer meeting, and this very verse was also on my heart. I believe I even prayed about it, like, Lord, you said to, like, pray for laborers, so we're praying for laborers, and we're going to raise up an army of laborers to go out and bring this great harvest in. I mean, that's what's been stirring in my heart. And so tonight, before I opened up to Luke chapter 10, because I didn't remember that was the verse, I was like, man, I don't really think I feel like continuing with this, you know, going through the Gospels. I want to, like, do my own message, because this is the kind of stuff that's really on my heart. And so I open up to Luke chapter 10, and I read the verse 1 and verse 2, and I just started laughing, because I was like, that's what I wanted to preach about. I don't even have to end the series. I can keep going on what God's, you know, put on my heart to do and preach exactly. I feel like it's like the Lord knew, like back when I said we're going to be going through the Gospel of Luke, that this would be the night that I ended up on Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Amen. Hallelujah. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. That's not going to be the case in our church. Amen. The harvest is going to be great, and the laborers are going to be great. We're going to have a multitude of laborers. Amen. You might not feel qualified. You might think nobody will listen to me. You might feel like I can't be the one to do that. That is not what God says about you. What is that song that we sing where, how does it go, that I am who you say I am? Is that what it says? I mean, it's true. So who am I? I am everything that the Word of God says I am. So I can't be shy. I can't be like, you know, timid. I mean, you might be a shy person in and of yourself, but I've met enough people that say, like, you know what, I actually prefer just to stick to myself. I'm actually quite reserved outside of ministry, but for some reason, when I get up to preach, something happens when all of a sudden the power of God comes, the anointing comes, and I just can't stop. I mean, that's what Pastor Tommy does. Really, that's the way I am. I'm not necessarily the outgoing type for the most part. You know, but when you just say, like, God, whatever you want to do, use me how you want to use me, and then you just step out and begin to let him use you, you don't know what's going to happen. So you might feel like, you know what, I don't think anybody would ever listen to me. And that is a lie from the enemy. He's trying to keep you in this small box of limiting you from, because he knows that if you begin to be used by God, you'll become this tool, you'll become this weapon in the hands of God that he can actually use to bring damage to the devil's kingdom. So obviously the devil doesn't want that to happen, so he tries convincing you right from the very beginning. No, you need to be, how, let me ask you, of the people here that have gone soul winning, how many of you, the very first time you went out, were at least nervous? Look at that. Everybody's nervous that does it. Is there anybody here that went out for the very first time and wasn't nervous? You know what I mean? So everybody that goes out soul winning is nervous. Everybody thinks, like, I'm not sure if this is really going to work. Everybody thinks, like, how is God really going to use me? But of the people that actually went out and did it, how many of you have led someone to the Lord? You see what I mean? Like everybody, you see, it, because God needs your mouth. He doesn't need your mind. He doesn't need your intellect. He doesn't need your sense of fashion. Doesn't need, you know, a fancy car or a junky car. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, we think the stupidest stuff is going to be what matters to people. You know what? I mean, even for myself, like, I think to myself, like, you know, oh, there weren't enough people coming to the church. You know, I got to preach better. And there's a little bit of truth to that. But what's more important to people coming to a church is the toilets. Like, I mean, according to church growth people, which what do they know? But whatever. I'm just saying, like, you know, like preaching is like on the number like of important things on people's list to continue coming to a church. Preaching is like number 9 out of 10. You got toilets that are more important. You got like seats that are more important. You got kids' church that's more important. You got just about anything that doesn't, I mean, not that kids' church doesn't matter, forgive me, Marika, but about anything that doesn't really matter, you know, is more important than what's actually, you know, the main thing. You know what I mean? All right, you have church down too. That's, all right, fair enough. I support that. But you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. I didn't go to church because they had nice toilets. You know, I mean, like, how many people have ever gotten saved because of a nice toilet? Nobody, right? So, I mean, like, but that if you start going the route of the natural where you start cutting out the Holy Spirit and you start cutting out the power of God and you're not laboring for the gospel, well, then all you can resort to is natural things, right? If you're not doing what God wants us to do, then God isn't going to be the one adding the people to your church. So then you got to figure out how are we going to add people to the church. We need nice toilets. That'll bring the people in. And scones. And whatever else creative idea you can. Fog machine. Look, you know what? And I'm honestly not really opposed to any of it. You know, I'm not really against all of it as long as it's not the main thing. As long as it's not like, all right, guys, I finally figured out where our breakthrough is. We got a fog machine, you know. We got scones. We got toilets. We got, you know, I believe that a church should operate in excellence. I believe the church should reflect the goodness of God, and it shouldn't be dingy, and it shouldn't be cheap, and it shouldn't be that. But I don't think that that is the main thing. You know, if Jesus says that he came to seek and save that which is lost, then that means that's what you and I are here for, to seek and save that which was lost. You know, it's got to become our mission. It's the River Church's mission to get into the river, into the presence, and take that out onto the street and to preach the gospel and share the gospel with people in every possible way. And as we do that, as we labor for God's kingdom, as you put God's kingdom first, I promise you, you'll find your needs being met. You'll find people around you, their needs being met. You'll find that you're becoming a blessing. You'll find that you're happy. You'll find your family members that you've been praying for getting saved. You're going to find that God will work on your behalf. I promise you, like I said, I can't tell you what I want to tell you about what's going to happen here. But if I could, I would tell you that it's like the most ridiculous thing about the stuff that like Pastor Julia and I, like we're always praying for increase. Well, let me tell you guys, increase is coming. Increase is coming in a big way. And we better get ready for it. I'm just telling you. So, and this has all happened because, I'm like amping them up for it. I don't know about this Sunday, next Sunday. But it's only taking place because I know that God has done this huge change inside of my heart where we're not just, I mean, like, it's not that I didn't have a heart to win the lost, but if you would look at, you know, my lifestyle per se, my example, it didn't show that. And people will only go as far as, like, you know, the leadership goes in any organization. So if I'm like, you know, hey, you guys need to go soul winning, but I'm really not like breathing, sleeping, living, soul winning, like if it's not really my heart, then it's really never going to like permeate through the culture, per se, of the church. But I'm telling you, God did something in me, and now it's like, I don't care. Because you know what happened once? We did that church event here where we had 70-some people come, and not one single person came from that. You know, we did it on a Saturday. We had the outdoor event. We invited all these people from the community, and 70-some people came, and not one single person came to church the next Sunday. And when that happened, it kind of like was like a balloon. You just got popped, and it was just like, oh, we did all that, and not one person came. You guys remember that? And like that bothered me for a little while, so that's for the most part why we haven't really done that kind of stuff again. But I was talking with someone the other day about that very thing, and really the Lord dealt with me already on it that Wednesday night. But whether someone comes from that or not, the purpose of that is to share the gospel message with people. So we're not going to necessarily go to do an outreach or even necessarily soul winning for the sake of seeing our church grow. If church growth happens, great. But really what it is we're going after the lost and we're going after God's heart. And God will show you. God is going to do this thing where when we go after what's important to God, when we go after God's heart and we start winning the lost and we start, you know, we go to like, you know, North Clinton Ave in Rochester where like there's just heroin and stuff and like crazy stuff going on. And we just go there and we just start preaching the gospel and we start sharing the love of God. God will see that these people are faithful, that these people are doing what I want them to do. I can add people to them because they're gonna be faithful with them. They're gonna take those people and train them to be soul winners. You see, people want to come to they want to come to a ministry where yes, they can receive, but really there has to be vision and there has to be purpose. And that's really, you know, I've had vision, I've had purpose in general, but I feel like God just honed it in for me that like our vision and our purpose is like, it's we are going to reach Rochester. We are going to reach Buffalo. We are going to reach this region. We're going to reach this whole, I mean, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries, we're going to reach all of New York. And who knows from beyond there where we're going to go. Amen? And that's not like me saying anything like crazy. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but the situation that I'm not allowed to tell you about, I don't know how that happened either. It doesn't make any sense to me. But the God, when you go after his heart and you start seeking after him, doors begin to open, supernatural things begin to happen because you're going after what he wants. Amen? Hallelujah. So I promise you, everybody's got to get on board. Everybody, we need every single person. You know, and that goes even like getting involved here at the church. Like, I mean, get involved in every way that you can because you make a difference in people's lives. When people start coming here, you know, we need to have people that are ready for those people to come. And how do I know people are going to come? Because we're going to go after God's heart and God is going to send people here because we are found faithful. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. For the sake of time, I'm just going to skip to verse 9. Some stuff in between. There's a bunch of stuff that I was going to say about all that. But really, I like verse 9. He tells them, "And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." God instructed these 70 people not just to go out and preach the gospel, but he instructed them to go out and to heal the sick. When you go out and you begin to heal the sick, it shows that the kingdom of God is at hand. "And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." So this is what we're going to do. And look, I promise you, when you start praying for people and people start getting healed, you'll really realize how little you have to do with it. That's what happened to me. Like, I mean, like the first several people that like got healed, I didn't fast for 7 days. I didn't spend from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. praying in tongues. It wasn't anything like that. I mean, just laid hands on people, and boom, God touched them, and they got healed. And I was like, man, God, you're good. That's awesome. Because, like, I know I didn't have anything to do with that. So healing, salvation, it's not up to us. It's not up to you whether somebody receives the message of the gospel. It's up to you to tell them. Amen? It's not up to you whether somebody gets healed. I mean, there's a certain aspect of it where your faith is in the mix, you know, where, like, there is an element of, like, people like Smith Wigglesworth, people that, like, Catherine Coleman, people like A.A. Allen that tapped into the gifts of the Spirit and into this anointing where healings and miracles just begin to take place, like, radically. But for every single believer, we've been given the measure of faith, and for every single believer, we've also been told to go out and lay hands on the sick. And sometimes God uses you in spite of you. He's like, I just needed somebody, so I used you. It wasn't because you were, like, you know, pressing in. But I mean, that person, they needed to be touched, and you were at least willing to be used. Sometimes God just needs somebody that's willing to be used. And then you realize, like, hey, this is actually pretty sweet. I want to do that again. I want to be used again. And then you actually start pressing in for it. Because you realize, wow, I like this, but it doesn't happen as often as I like, so I got to really pray, I got to press in, I got to, you know, go after God until this begins following after my life on a regular basis. Amen? Hallelujah. Actually, it even says that right here in verse 16. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So they aren't rejecting you. If you ever get rejected, when you want to pray for somebody, when you tell them Jesus loves you, when you go to lead them in the gospel message, they're not rejecting you. Jesus said so himself. He said, when they reject you, they're rejecting me, and they're rejecting him who sent me. Amen. Now, let's just read one faith-filled scripture here that Jesus said that'll really just, I mean, it just takes it to the next level of our authority that we have. Verse 19, behold, I give you authority. God has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And when it says scorpions and snakes or whatever, he's not actually talking about, you know, in the natural. He's talking about demonic forces. He's talking about the power of the devil. We have been given authority over that. And I promise you, we're going to go into some areas. We're going to set up, you know, in some areas where you can see that there has been some demonic stuff working in the area. I mean, you know, you don't go to an area where you just see needles everywhere. That just doesn't happen without having some sort of demonic force there. But the thing is that God gave us. I mean, if he gave it to these guys weren't born again yet. These guys weren't baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues yet. If these guys had the authority, then how much more do you and I, as the sons and daughters of God, have the authority that he promised to them? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Before we close, there's just a couple more verses that I want to read. Verse 8, Psalm 2, verse 8 says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Ask of me, and I will give you, the King James says, the heathen for your inheritance. God, I mean, I was praying this afternoon, and I felt, this doesn't always happen. I probably wish it happened more. And I really felt the Lord just pressing in my spirit. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt as I was praying, I'd been praying for a while in the spirit, and I just felt the Lord ask me, what do you want? And the first thing that came to my mind was Psalms 2:8, ask for the heathen. And I said, Lord, I want the heathen. I want the nations. And I mean, like that didn't come out of my mind, because if I'll tell you what would have come out of my mind. Lord, I want a house, I want a car, I want, like, you know, an Escalade, something. You know, I got a list, I got a shopping list of guns that I want. God, I'll take all that. You know what I mean? But that's not what came out of my heart. What came out of my heart is, Lord, I want the nations. Lord, I want the heathen. Lord, I want to see this region shake. I want the nation of Rochester. I want the nation of Buffalo. I want the nation of Western New York. I want New York. I want, you know, Lord, give us the nation. He said, ask and he'll give it to us. Amen? We got to ask the Lord, Lord, give it to us. And then we can't just pray for it. You know, I mean, like, God bless the assistant to the mayor, but praying for it wasn't going to get the job done. I was like, look, we're going to pray. We're already praying. We had prayer meeting Monday night, praying for exactly this. We're already praying. But somebody has to go and tell that heroin addict there's a better way. Somebody has to go tell that lady that's selling her body to some nasty old man there's a better way. Somebody has to be the person to go and tell them. And that person is you. And that person is me. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Holy Ghost boldness stirring up on this inside of us. God, I thank you for every single thing that you're doing in our hearts and in our lives and in this church. God, I thank you that you're challenging us on the inside. I thank you that you're taking our faith to the next level. God, we're believing you for the nations, for the heathen. God, I thank you that your word says to ask of you for the nations, to ask of you for the heathen. God, we ask you for the heathen. God, we ask you for the lost. God, we are going to go out and labor for your kingdom. We are taking ground. We are taking territory. We are expanding your kingdom in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for boldness, Holy Ghost boldness to rise up on the inside of us. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us that of power, love, and a sound mind. God, I thank you that you filled us with power, Holy Ghost power, explosive power, that you've given us authority over every work of the enemy, that you've given us power and authority to trample on the devil, to trample on demons, that they have no way of winning over us because we have the authority over them. And God, as we march into this land, as we take ground for you, I thank you that we're going to trample all over the devil, all over Rochester, all over Brockport, all over Monroe County, Orleans County, Genesee County, everywhere we go, God, I thank you that we are going to trample all over the devil, that the devil is going to hate River Church. And Lord, I thank you that even as he tries to stop what we're doing, that you'll raise us up, that you'll raise us up in boldness and faith, that we'll come with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we'll come with the shield of faith, and that no matter what enemy tries to stop us, you always lead us to victory. We will always lead us to triumph in Christ. You don't just take us into victory, but you take us from victory to victory, from glory to glory. God, I thank you for victory. I thank you that we have the greater one living on the inside of us. God, I thank you that we are overcomers, that we have the greater one living on the inside of us, that nothing can stop us in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And God, we worship you. We give you all the glory, all the praise and the honor. God, we thank you that you're opening doors for us. We thank you that you're opening new opportunities for us. We thank you that you're going to send Bible school students to attend Bible school here to be raised up as laborers. God, we thank you that you're going to send people to add to your church as we're found faithful seeking after your heart. God, I ask that you would break our hearts for souls, that you would break our hearts for the lost, that we would seek after your heart, which your heart is full of love for the lost. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.